This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. This is going to be one of those shows you don't want to even go to take a break in, whatever you have to do when you take a break. And we want to let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by At Home Care, and that's Melissa Warren's business. And if you're no longer able to take care of the normal duties of your home and you just feel like that you're going to have to do something else, give this number a call. It's 713-4639, 713-4639, or pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com, and they will come in and 24/7. They'll take care of all your specific needs at home, run errands for you. All you have to do is just sit back and enjoy life. And their business is located at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, and that's right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And we want to let you know before you hear this that we have one of the greatest entertainment groups you will ever hear. Well, of course, we've got Jimmy C. Newman on, who is a regular and a great friend.
Again.
John Frost on, who has been with a number of great bands. And we have Mr. Ray Frost on. He is also one of our great entertainers and also used to work some with Jimmy C.
Oh, yeah.
So we want you to hear this. And what a great sound. Jimmy C., we were listening to the four guys, which John Frost, of course, was one of the members at that time. And you remember them when you were on at the Opry. And how would you rate them?
Well, I told you a while ago what the captain said. Ooh. It's there's one thing you don't do. You don't follow them four or five guys on that bench sitting on. because it's over. Oh, there was so dynamic, and these guys, at the time, most of them were pretty tall. You know, they could run, full bounce in any kind of dance hall, and individually they were strong and tall. You know, and so dynamic, and it really hurt my feelings to see things change for them. Later on at the opera, because they should still be on Knocking That Organ
right.
South.
Right.
Because they had a variety of music they could do. It was country, and it was a pop if it had to be, gospel for sure, and it just were dynamic, and I don't know what happened, and then I still don't like what happened, but that's C'est la vie, as we say in Chongqing. Yeah. I mean in Louisiana.
Well, you know, you guys, and your band, you guys are still out there performing, and still, of course, you do some new stuff, too.
Yeah.
But the old stuff that really started with the Grand Ole Opry years ago, have we moved a lot away from all of that, the old music that we're all used to?
Well, it's easy to explain that a lot of us are gone. You know, it's a new era where it's a new kind of music. It's a new kind of country. I don't know what country sometimes, but it's a new kind of country music and some young people, and that's what the music is all about. Especially due to the fact that they can see a lot of young faces on these television shows or stations or channels that promotes that type of music. So you can't help but have the masses, especially the young people, to go that route because they see beautiful faces they like, whether it's a boy or a girl, and they're going to want to see them. And so here we are. And when I first started in the business, they were ashamed to put a country music show on TV. And I'm not kidding you, we didn't have that. When I came here in 1956, they filmed a little bit of country music. And I did a Purina show back then in the 50s, and it was very successful. And all of us did it then, and all of them did them before I did. I'm talking about Ernest Dove and Marty Robbins and Minnie Pearl, and the list goes on and on. But it's just the fact is, I think there'd have been more superstars in those days if we'd have had the TV exposure that is exposed for country music today. Everybody knows about country music today, and in those days, it was the people of North. Very few of them knew about it. What they knew was hereditary, I guess, with them because they moved from the South to the North because they didn't program country music on radio stations much. They did start later on.
Right.
Like I said, my first release was in the mid-50s, and it was changing right then. Elvis came in, and we had to use some doo-wahs on our records then if we wanted to stay in the game. And that's how I lucked out with Fallen Star.
Did you learn to shake?
Great song.
I never was a good shaker.
Yeah.
No.
You look like you got a lot of rhythm to me even now.
Was that?
You have a lot of rhythm even now.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
That's while I'm staggering down the hallway walking. You know? Thanks a lot, isn't it? I didn't mean to take over the show, but you wanted an explanation, or you asked me about show business.
Well, we were listening to the four guys, which, of course, John Frost is in here, and wanted to play that because, you know, there's so much great talent. I mean, I used to listen to the four guys and watched you guys a number of times.
And you know what I was talking about.
Exactly. It was so dynamic. You would go in there and you could feel the electricity in the air when they were performing.
It was no fun to follow them. And we've had to do it. I can tell you, I'm honest about it on the opera I'm talking about.
And John, you being from Rutherford County, and you getting to meet all of those great stars like Jimmy
C.
You just had to really have a blessed life.
I have, and one of my favorite times at the Opry was when Jimmy C. and the four guys would sing on the same show. If we sang on the same show, it was Katie Bar the Door at that point. Yeah. There was going to be a show on that section.
That is, if we didn't have to follow y'all. Yeah.
But we had so much fun. I grew up singing. They came and got me off the Little League field at the age of 12 and said, do you want to sing? I was playing baseball out at Eagleville, and I was 12 years old, and I said, I traded in my glove for a microphone. And I said, I want to sing.
And started
out with my brothers, the Frost Brothers Quartet, singing harmony. And it's just, and of course, my daddy and him had the Frost Seniors Quartet, which sang four-part harmony. So it was a natural for me. I was raised in the church hearing the four-part harmony. So it wasn't anything that I had to learn. It was there.
Do you ever have a time, any of you, that going on the opera was big time? I mean, I don't care where you're from. If you were appearing at the Ryman Auditorium, I mean, you were in top banana. Did you ever get nervous or kind of feel like, well, you know, I don't really feel like doing it tonight? Did you ever have those kind of...
I get that last thing you said. I get that feeling now for certain reasons, having to drive from home to there.
Yeah.
That'll happen. And then once I get there and with the part of the family that used to be our family, like with the four guys and so many other people that are gone, still and all... You get there and you get more in the mood for it. And it's just a big family. It always was a big family, but it's slowly, a lot of them died, and then some of them, as I mentioned, and I'm back in the spotlight here, taking over.
You go ahead, Jack.
But the thing about it is some of our great entertainers were dismissed from the opera, you see, 8 or 10 years ago or less, and those things happened, and... But we still, it's something about it. And John and you, Ray, you were with me for a good while at the opera. It's something about it that you can't explain it. It's a communication that we have. Like I said about this business, you got to be crazy to want to be in it, but boy, what a great business it is. You know?
And see, you, Jimmy will probably agree with me 110%. It was a dream of mine being from Eagleville out there. We'd put little groups together and we'd play out in my garage and people would say, you sound good 8 miles away, you know. But I mean, music was our life, you know. So, and to be, just to even be a part, I just thought, well, if I can play bass on the Grand Ole Opry someday, just play bass guitar, that would be the greatest thing in the world. I didn't have any clue that the good Lord was going to open the door to where I'd actually be singing and then later on, got to front with the four guys when Sam and Brennan retired for a few months. But it was a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous blessing. And I'll never forget, it's May the 16th that I went out on the Grand Ole Opry stage and Sam said, let's do this thing right. And I said, what do you want to do, Sam? He said, sing Turn Your Radio On. So he put me out there. That was the first song I performed on the Grand Ole Opry with the four guys. I sang lead, and we all did that harmony that the four guys had, man. It was just, it was magic. We did Turn Your Radio On, which I thought was so fitting because I was raised in gospel music, and the first song I get to do on the Grand Ole Opry is a gospel song.
Yeah. And they were dressed so nice, you know, too, and just dynamic looking.
Thank you, Jim.
Now sometimes some of them dress it like they just fell off of a CCC truck, you know. And I don't dig that too much because that's how the business is.
Yeah, Jimmy, you know, we came up in a time, in an era when people wanted to look like they were stars.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you wanted to look the part. You
had the glitter and everything.
That's right.
That lasted for a long time, right?
There was an old saying called flashing trash. You wanted to shine, man. You wanted to look good. And those artists, I still remember Porter Wagoner. When you say flash, you think Porter.
Porter.
I mean, who else? I mean, he had it down with the nudie suits and the whole deal and the flash and I always thought he was the Mick Jaggers of country music. He had it down, boy.
Jimmy Dickens still does.
Jimmy
did.
Jimmy too. Yeah, Jimmy still does.
Once in a while, I wore one of my.
Yeah, Jimmy. Yeah, Jimmy did. So we came out there. It was just show. It was showbiz, and you wanted to put on a show.
It's all about showbiz. Yeah.
Why did he get Dolly Parton? Because then that took she got all of the views from then on. You wouldn't ever look at Porter; you just look at Dolly.
All right, I'm going to go on to the next topic. Okay.
Now, Ray, you played with Jimmy C.
I did.
Now how was Skeeter. That?
Yeah. Oh, it was great. It was great. When I first started at the opera, I was with Skeeter Davis.
Uh huh.
And I would always watch Jimmy.
Uh huh.
And in my mind, I wanted that gig. I wanted to play for Jimmy, and it worked out to where
that's
I did.
That's where all the action was.
The trouble is that Ray was outnumbered by Cajuns, I think.
I was, but I fell in all right.
Did you ever learn to speak the French Cajun language, which it's different from anything else?
About as much Cajun language that I could speak was give me another 5 pound of crawfish. You know, I could do that.
What was it you said?
I said, give me another 5 pound of crawfish. That was about the yeah, that was but yeah, it was great being with Jimmy. It was, you know, with Skeeter, and of course I started with Skeeter there. Mm-hmm.
Now how did that come about?
Well, I got a phone call from John. And he said, Skeeter is looking for a drummer. You want the job?
Oh,
I said,
wow.
Well, yeah, because I was playing clubs at the time. And I said, well, yeah, I do. And so I got the job, basically sight on scene. And
with and Skeeter, then, you were?
I was, yeah. Yeah.
Was it before or after?
Before you.
I didn't remember that. You told me then.
But it was great, you know, walking out on that stage first time. And, you know, I remember the first time walking backstage at the Opry and just looking and seeing all the great names, Ernest Tubb and many of the great names that I had grown up listening to. And it was amazing. And getting to meet so many different people and just be around some neat stories, you know.
You know, it's such a, you think about it, and it's the type of life that all entertainers dream of. But once you reach the top, it's not an easy life, is it? Because travel and all the always having to be up and I can't think of anything that would wear me out more than what you guys have done.
You had to be ready to perform. If you were sick, didn't matter. Showing on, you had to just pull it up.
Yeah.
You know, do everything you could do just to get yourself in good shape, mentally.
You
go out there and do the show.
You have to live up what you look like, you know. You're talking about dressing with the glitter.
Yeah, you got to put on a show. I think I had one night. I've been so blessed. Man, I had one night that I couldn't hit all my notes, and it just worried. I'd been in Smoky Mountains. We're working up in Pigeon Forge. Truman, you came to hear us.
I did.
Eagle Mountain. Mm-hmm. And I had been, the pollen up there is horrible.
It
just really got real bad, and I lost my falsetto. And that's the only time I can remember, though in all these years of singing and performing, that I couldn't hit all my notes. And boy, you talk about somebody hurting. I was trying to sing Rocky Top. Rocky Top had never been sung like that.
But you guys... think about Whitney Houston. She was, 48 when she just died. It takes its toll on you, both physically and emotionally, trying to keep up, because you're having to live up to this certain image, and an image that's almost
so
impossible
right.
to.
So right, because you see what happens is, as I was telling May this morning, talking about the Whitney Houston situation, sometimes you just can't take all that glitter and all that stardom, because she was the greatest, you know. And it just wears you out. And so you'll take a pill for a crutch. And some people are addictive. I can name some in the country music that were, that it happened to them. And it just goes on from that. Take something to make the gig, make something to rest for the next gig, and it goes back and forth like that.
It's
hard to explain, but that's how it is.
But you think of people like you, Loretta Lynn, some of those that have been just past time. And still, you look good. You still are great at entertaining. You know, that's got to be something special, because, you know, you see a lot of them just burn out after just a few years.
I guess some of that is hereditary, is how you can last at whatever your craft is. You know, some of them, I thought at times I'd fold up like an Arab's tent, you know, on stage, but I'm happy. But it's hereditary. I've had I had an open heart surgery 15 years ago, and that slowed me down then.
You don't look it.
And so I got over that, and luckily I'm still in the game, and I want to sing more than when I get to sing, because now it's just like one or two songs. And as I look back, wow, no, I used to sing more than that on the road. But then on the other hand, I don't want to do the road, so I'm not.
I mean, you could just pop in, just like you did when we had the 911 day over at Sheriff's Office years ago. Mm-hmm. Your band wasn't there, and there was a band that came in, and I invited you over just to come over and just mm-hmm. sit with us and have fun. And they wanted you. Everybody saw you, and they wanted you to get up and sing. And you did, no practice, no rehearsing or anything like that.
I got to play bass with him.
Yeah, you did.
I played bass with him. I felt very honored.
And you brought the house down.
We were winging it, you know.
Yeah, we were woodshedding.
That's what you call it. You know? But sometimes you hope it happens like that. But back then when I traveled without my band, Cajun Country, I had to do those one-nighters, and all of us did then, most of us. And you'd get to a gig and travel all night to get to make the gig with a band you'd never seen before, and get out and say, "I'm happy to be here what is the name of this town?" That sort of thing.
You think about these bus trips and all these things that you guys had to do.
Well, that was great. The bus, considering for years and years, it was just the car. Wind
oh
up in Spokane,
goodness.
Washington. George Jones and Rufus Thibodeau and I wind up in Spokane, Washington.
Yeah.
Had to drive back from there. That was back in the late 50s, I guess. Yeah.
So you really didn't have much time to rehearse or do anything. I guess you pretty much played the same songs and worked it out, but I don't know how in the world you guys were able. But you think about it, all the talent that we, even right here in Rutherford County, we have some great talent here.
Oh, yeah.
We really do. We have great musicians, singers, you name it, we've got them. But they never have reached the pinnacle like you guys have. And you just think, what does it take for all that talent to be brought before the people so that people can recognize you?
Representation and luck and determination.
Yeah.
That combination, that's pretty close, don't you think?
That's it. I never will forget. Truman, I decided in 1978 mm-hmm. to go into the country music, just try it. You know, and I thought, well, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to go out there. And there was a job opening in Printer's Alley with a show band there, and I went and got the job, got the audition. Well, the only thing I knew to do is put some legs on your faith and get out there and so somebody can hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, within 3 years of that date that I decided to go, I went with a little group called Duke Cane, and then I went with the Headliners. Mm-hmm. I progressively was moving up the ladder, and then within 3 years, I was a member of the Grand Ole Opry. And it's just, but you got to get out there where you can be heard. They're not going to, me and Ray used to think, you know, and our friends that played with us, that some guy with a big cigar is going to drive by, you know, Elm Street and Eagleville and sign us from hearing mm-hmm. us from the garage. But that don't happen.
No.
You got to get out there where you can be heard.
It's,
and that's
more so
it.
Now. It's harder now.
Oh, yeah.
From what I understand. Back then, I liked that on the hit record. Back when I, mm-hmm. what got me on the Louisiana Hayride, Cry Cry Darling was the one in 1954. Mm-hmm. And Cry Cry Darling got me the Louisiana Hayride through Tillman Franks, who y'all all, both of you knew, was managing Johnny Horton and then David Houston. Mm-hmm. So that was a big, big thing. Now, don't necessarily mean a hit record. Representation. And, of course, a good presentation. I'm using a lot of long words here for occasion on the radio.
Yeah, you're coming on up.
Well, you know, you've got the you had agents back then that had a lot of clout.
When you're older, an older act, you don't got those advantages. Someone representing you.
Okay, somebody like Tom Perriman, that used to be here.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of these people that could get other people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
Do they still have something like that now? A channel, if you've really got talent, is there somewhere that you can go to get somebody attention and show you wares? I mean, you got all these America's Got Talent shows on TV and things like that, but do you really have, I mean, is there somebody on the ground floor around here?
Music Row is where it usually is, and it's a combination of, are you young, do you look good, can you write songs, can you sing them, and
have you got plenty of money,
and money don't hurt. But that's it's done today, more so than the old way, Of course, they got to do that to be able to get on that record, to get a hit record. And so that's how it goes.
But see, I long for your music. I really do. Because you're not fighting other talents that are doing the same thing you are anymore. And I love to hear you and John and all the talent that we've got around here. And I don't know if it's part of just wanting to go back and recapture, you know, some of the songs in our youth or whatever. But I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were, and this is somebody who's in the music business, and they were basically saying that the country music and the country western music and the Cajun music that we would ignore when we were younger, we long for it now. Uh-huh. It's just something that is just happening.
Well, Cajun music, absolutely. When Jimmy C was on stage,
yeah,
you were going to get moved. You couldn't be still, man.
Oh, I know.
I mean, there ain't nothing no more exciting than Cajun music.
Right.
I mean, and it's, I be honest with you, I like the zydeco and all of it. I mean, I love it.
Yeah.
And if you say that word, you got to say Jimmy C. Newman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know.
Well, that's over here because, you know, I brought it here and all that, and I appreciate what you're saying. But the fact is, if you were down in Louisiana, South Louisiana, it's overrun with different groups and bands that plays it. You were talking about exciting. Originally, the Cajun music was a waltz or a two-step, we call them.
Uh-huh.
And you know this, uh-huh, right? So it was a dance-type music. It was not a listening type music. Of course, Louisiana, South Louisiana, never was in those days until I left, was not a big show place. It was for people went out and danced.
Uh-huh.
It was a different it's a different religion where dancing is okay, for instance, like mm-hmm. the Catholics. Mm-hmm. And that's how Cajun, but it was not exciting. Now, it was not that exciting. It was a waltz or a two-step. So,
boy,
so what we learned
exciting.
To do was to do shows is to do it exciting, up-tempo, and do it bilingual.
Yeah.
Because if you did it back home in the old days, it was all French, Cajun French.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, until Diggy Liggy Low, I guess, the song that I got a hold of, which I didn't write. Then Louisiana Man, which was a gigantic hit by the Kershaws. Until that, it was all French, Cajun French. So, and some of the bands came to the opera and did all Cajun French, and it bombed because people, you got to throw a few words in English fool them and make them think they know what we're talking about.
Did you actually sing some in English? I can't remember that.
What now?
You mean you actually said some English words? I didn't pick those up.
I was amazed when we would travel Europe and at the response that they had to Cajun music. They went crazy over it. And you'd be playing in huge arenas where there'd be 25, 30, 40,000 people there, and they're going nuts over this Cajun music. They're dancing all over the place. It was an experience to be playing that high level of energy that we put into the Cajun music, you know, and just see that great response in overseas. That was really crazy to see.
Now we'll be back with some of the European influence because that's part of it I love. And we want to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Pirtle and Howerton Automotive. That's Mark Pirtle and John Howerton. Of course, Mark lives right here in Murfreesboro. And their business is at 2006 North Main Street in Shebbleville, Tennessee. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, give them a call at 1-800-264-6800, toll free, or pull them up on the internet, PirtleHowerton.com. Or about a 25-minute drive towards Shebbleville from Murfreesboro on 231 South. They'll be on the left just before you get into downtown. And just enjoy your day.
The holy men say the world's in decay. There's a moral depression at hand. Maybe I'm as depressed all of the rest, but I'm doing the best that I can. And they're preaching repentance, but they're passing down sentence before my defense can reply. And I'm struck from their list of those who are blessed with a ticket to heaven on high. I'm a hobo on a freight train to heaven,
and I ain't got
a ticket. I'm just stealing the ride. I'm not welcome aboard the train to the Lord, but I bet he'll be glad that I've tried. I'll double dog dare them to show me just where the proof is that I've gone astray. All the wild oats I've sown and the women I've known, I've loved in a most heavenly way. And I've harbored affection for a wondrous selection of things of which I'm not ashamed. So when Gabriel lets loose, I'll just hop that caboose and I'll ride that glory-bound train. I'm a hobo on the freight train to heaven, I'm just stealing a ride. I'm not welcome aboard the train to the Lord, but I bet he'll be glad that I tried. Lord, I'm a hobo on a freight train to heaven, and I ain't got a ticket. I'm just stealing a ride. I'm not welcome aboard the train to the Lord, but I bet he'll be glad that I tried. Yes, I'm a hobo on a freight train.
Be a hero for kids with cancer. Join Bald in the Borough's second annual St. Baldrick's event on March 16th at 4 p.m. located in Lanes, Trains and Automobiles in Murfreesboro. You can be a part of the excitement, whether you shave your head, volunteer or donate. You'll be giving hope to those kids fighting childhood cancers. Go to baldintheborough.com and see how you can be a hero too. Sponsored by Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Did you get a sad face after your emissions test?
Come by Todd's Complete Auto Care and we'll get your car to pass and put a smile on your face.
This is Amy at Todd's Complete Auto Care Center. We'll even take it through emissions for you.
Todd's Complete Auto Care on Southeast Broad across from the Discovery Center.
Come see me.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by AmeriCare Pest Control, the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS, and the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna.
Aloha, this is Omni Hut.
Visiting with Polly Walls at the Omni Hut, open Tuesday through Saturday for dinner. You can see the difference when you walk in the door.
I think our decor speaks for itself. It's unique. We're simple. We're not a large operation, but I think that's part of the quaintness of us, I hope.
Catch the Aloha spirit at the Omni Hut.
Locally owned and operated since 1960. Come see us at 618 South Lowry Street, just inside Smyrna, near Nissan.
Now, Good Neighbor Events from WGNS. The AARP is offering a free tax aid program to persons age 60 plus whose total family income is $50,000 per year or less. This is over at the St. Clair Street Senior Center and appointments are necessary. Phone 848-2550 for information. A similar service for all ages over at the Greenhouse Ministries. That too requires a total household income of $50,000 or less. Now here's a date to put on your calendar, March the 17th. That's a Saturday night. And the Fun Backstage Bash on the street right in front of the Center for the Arts in Uptown Murfreesboro. Great food and, let me tell you, phenomenal music, the big band sound of Music City Swing. For information about this annual Center for the Arts fundraiser, call them at 904-ARTS. A special Lawn and Garden 101. That's going to be March the 2nd and 3rd, Friday and Saturday. There is a $10 fee, and that includes the lunch on Saturday, as well as all the materials. Phone 898-7710 for information. And those are Good Neighbor Events.
Smoked wings, barbecue, the redneck nachos, you know what I'm talking about. It's Kirk and Burt Smokehouse Grill on Kaysen Lane. Stop on in. Each day they've got great specials for you. Kirk and Burt Smokehouse Grill on Kaysen Lane here in Murfreesboro.
It's the Truman Show. A look at the people and news shaping Rutherford County with Truman Jones.
And welcome back. Great show today. I mean, Jimmy C. Newman, John and Ray Frost, well, I couldn't have better guests on. And we want to let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by Golden Coin Connection. And they're at 2568 South Church Street, and that's beside the Gateway Tire Center in the Strip Mall. And they have a new location at 5631 New Nashville Highway. And Pastor Larry Dunn of ERO Ministries and partners Chris Chico and Wayne Eberly buy gold, jewelry, platinum, coins, and silverware. They have vintage sports collectibles and even some great antiques. And for a fair and honest evaluation of your collectibles, take them by and see Pastor Larry Dunn and his partners today at the Golden Coin Connection, 2568 South Church Street and 5631 New Nashville Highway, and give them a call at 890-2646. And Ray Frost brought me a book that is mine and that is signed, and it says The Grand Ole Opry, and it's WSM Picture History Book, and I am going to cherish this, Ray. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Sitting here looking at one of the articles, and it's showcasing each individual star in their group, and I'm looking at the Jimmy C. Newman one, and one of the pictures has got Gene Autry, Jimmy C., and Oscar Sullivan of Lonzo and Oscar. And it doesn't say when this was taken, Jimmy, but this has been a long time ago. In 1984.
That's an 84 history.
He was visiting backstage, and that's how I got to meet him.
Well, I see that Ray's picture's in here with you guys.
Yeah, that's when he was with
the
band.
Did he sneak in, or how did he get his picture in there with you guys?
He didn't sneak in. He was part of the band. Very important part of the band. Ray adapted to Cajun music very, very well, playing the drums.
Now, you have always pretty much stuck with the Cajun music. You haven't tried to vary away from that much.
Well, you see, let me tell you, I've had two careers. In 1954, Cry Cry Darling, then Fallen Star in 57, and then Decca Records, and a lot of records that were almost hits until I was too old to be on a record label in Nashville. So I said, wait a minute, I got another card here I can play. And so I formed the band Cajun Country. Yeah. Bessel Duyon came along with with my son Gary and Ray Kirkland, who still lives in Goodlettsville. They helped me organize the band, and then that's where, up until then, it was about 1975 when I formed the band Cajun Country, and then but up until then it was a country career, and I do Cajun music too, but the Cajun sound I introduced, and luckily we had not only the Grand Ole Opry but TNN too, and they really liked the programmers on TNN, and so we had a terrific way to expose the sound that we were doing. What I did was a modernized Cajun sound. I always did that when Ray was with us, and still do and did before Ray. It's a modernized Cajun sound. Like I mentioned, we do it bilingual, and so that's how that came about.
Now, people associate you with your songs.
Yeah.
And that's how they relate your career, whether it be the Four Guys or Jimmy C. Newman, however you do it. So what you're seeing is you have to regenerate your career with something new that's going to play for a while to keep you the flame going, I guess.
Well, I did that with the last CD, but I put it out my own self with the where it's not even, I didn't even send it to any radio station except Tom Berryman in Texas and Louisiana. And so I might do something with it later. If a label will pick it up, that's fine. But what I did is a version, a music version from Louisiana, and you guys have heard about it. It's called Swamp Pop.
Yeah.
And with the saxophone, the horn, and of course, May said, that wasn't a good idea to call myself a swamp pop singer. I said, you're right, I'm a swamp country singer. Mm-hmm. So I called the band Jimmy C. Newman and sings swamp country.
I always knew May was the smartest one in the family.
Oh, bless her.
How do you think I got to here?
She sure came here because of
May and her endearing life with me, staying with me all through the years and helping. And she likes to run the show at times, and so most of the time I let her.
There you go.
But the one song that you'll always probably cherish more than any other will be Cry, Cry, Darling, because that's the one that ignited it all.
Signature song. That's the one that started it all. Yeah.
You know, almost every great group or every great singer has one signature song. And when they play that, I don't care whether you're 20 years old or 80 years old or 90 years old, that's the one that everybody wants to hear.
Yeah.
Just like on New Year's Eve night in New York, what do they play? They play Frank Sinatra. Mm-hmm. That's right. So it's just the way it is. And you, John, you're kind of different because you have been with a number of groups. I can't even count the numbers.
The four guys should have had a big hit record, and it didn't happen with the right song.
Song that got the guys to the Opry, which is one, is Shenandoah. Mm-hmm. That was the signature song for the guys.
Wow, that was exciting.
they encored Shenandoah. I wasn't with them at the time. I was still in school when they joined the Opry. Mm-hmm. I think they joined in 1967 or 68, right around in there. They came from Wheeling Jamboree.
Mm-hmm.
And Art Devine got them down and heard them and brought them to the Grand Ole Opry. They did 12 encores of Shenandoah.
Oh, my goodness.
See, they did it without a hit record.
Wow.
They did it with a hit song.
Mm-hmm. And so that's a song that...
I wish we had a copy of that here. I would love.
I don't think I have it out in my truck, but I mean, it's a long way to the.
So that's one of my favorite songs. It really is. Oh, it's one that just grips you every time you hear it.
Yeah, we got so much response from that song over the years, and it was really extremely the song that opened all the doors for Sam and Brent, the four guys, and I feel. Of course, Brent has passed, but all of us work together. Sam, you say we spend more time together than we did with our families, and that was true. Because now we were a group that would rehearse. We rehearsed one. We got ready for a summer one year and learned 90 songs.
Oh my!
90. Now, how in the world are you going to do 90 songs?
Whoa!
But we learned them.
Nine's a lot.
But we learned 90. I never seen so many charts in my life as all the boys have. But no, that was, I remember when I went to, Ray, I'll tell you who I went with. It was your mom. And we went to she kept telling me about, go see the four guys. Go see, this is four of us came apart. I was singing and stuff and had worked with the Imperials. And I'd sang with the Frost Brothers. And I'd played bass behind the Stamps and the Happy Goodman family and a lot of the Rambos, Dottie Rambo, a bunch of the artists. And we got to work with country groups during that too. But Geneva wanted me to go over to see the four guys. She told me about them. So I went. She said, they really put on a good show. Well, that's where I went and I saw the Hot Rods and all that, the routine they do where they do the quick changes. And it was incredible. And I you know, it kind of rang a bell with me then. Boy, I'd love to be with a group like that sings harmony and yet does a show. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I think, Jimmy, that Cajun Country, you and Cajun Country, your group, man, y'all put on a show. It was some. When they hit the Opry stage, it was Katie bar the door. It was going to be, you couldn't help but your feet tap and move. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were going to have fun. And like I said, some of the greatest memories I have was when we were on the same show. When the four guys were on with Jimmy C. Newman, or Jimmy C. Newman was on with us. It didn't make any difference. Yeah. Boy, we were going to have a ball because we were all like family.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Ray and I are family. But I mean, we were. I love Jimmy just like he was my next of kin. You know, it's just we were all real close.
Yeah.
And just like family. And the Grand Ole Opry was that way all those years. Right. It was family, man.
Correct.
it was so much fun. I think about all the funny stuff that Bill Carlisle and Marshall Barnes.
The Goozer and the Goosey.
They would goose you all the time. You know, you'd
I was sitting in the green room one night, and I was sitting on the couch there by Bill Monroe. And these two beautiful young ladies come up, and they said, "Mr. Bill, can I get your autograph?" And he said, "Yeah, you can get them if you'll sit on my lap." And so they sat on his lap, and he said, "You got to kiss me on the cheek." And they kissed him, and he signed their autograph, and they was walking off, and he looked over at me. He said, I surely loves the ladies.
He proved it more than once, too.
It was a jewel.
It was, again, another great one that we missed so much.
Oh, yeah.
I love Bill Monroe to death, Mr. Acuff. I mean, we got to work, to me, to we got to work in the best of the times.
Absolutely.
Best of the times.
That's the deal. My accordion player says that, you know, we did, really.
What would y'all consider the glory years of the Grand Ole Opry?
Well, what he's talking about would be late
70s and 80s. Early 80s. And, '80s?
Yeah.
70s and 80s.
Mid-80s, something like that.
Did rock kind of give country a boost, or did it kind of slow it down a little bit? Because when rock came, you had Elvis and a number of those that would probably be considered gospel country singers, but yet they kind of went off a little bit. Did that cause some problems?
I told you earlier we had to go and start doing records with doo-wahs on them.
Yeah, right.
That changed the music business so much. Elvis did at that time. And so we had to change to do different type of music, we thought. But we did, and it happened like that, but it came back to the, and it will again someday. Hopefully it's not a war or depression that causes it to happen, but it will again someday.
I remember Truman, and I think these two people did as much to help country as anybody going. And one of them goes to church here, and I don't know if he lives here, and I think he lives in Mount Charlie Daniels.
Right.
Charlie Daniels went from, you know, from a real heavy Southern rock, which we all loved.
Right.
I mean, I thought it was the greatest music in the world. But then he started easing in and doing a little country taste. He had that country taste with it. Marshall Tucker Band, same thing. Mm-hmm. The group we were talking about a while ago, the Outlaws, Waylon Willie and Jesse Jesse Coulter and Tom Paul Glazer, they did a lot to bridge rock and roll with country. They bridged it with that. It was hippie music goes country. You know, it was our era that we loved. It had that good backbeat with it and the drive that it had. But yet they were singing Redhead and Stranger and stuff like that was you know, good lyrics, man. Willie Nelson, one of the greatest writers probably in country music's ever lived.
Yeah.
I mean, he could write.
Charlie Daniels still stops the show when he does the opera. He's so dynamic, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He's got that excitement
level.
But it's
not with a rock song. He does went down to Georgia and does that.
We're going to take a quick break and let you know that Stan McNabb is the sponsor of this part of the show. And Stan provides quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shelbyville, Tennessee area. Their large selection ensures that they have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. And for a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. At Stan McNabb Automotive, they pride themselves in the quality that they offer on all of their used cars, and that makes them a major destination for used vehicles. And only at Stan McNabb can you get free oil changes and free tires for the life of that vehicle.
If I was in Birmingham, honey, lost in your loving, where I would be. I'm getting high, but I'm low on money. Between here and hell, there ain't no place for me. Here I come again, I got whiskey and water. I'm hurting and bothered, but I'm misunderstood.
till I feel good. And if I was in Birmingham, honey, I'd be up on your doorstep, down on my knees, begging for your love. It can cost more than money. Oh, the whiskey is high, but the water.
Jenkins, candidate for property assessor. As your next property assessor, I will ensure that every property owner is treated fair and equally. I have over 17 years experience in the property assessor's office, serving from 1987 to 2004 as deputy assessor under former assessor Tommy Sanford. I would appreciate your vote for property assessor, early voting February 15th through February 28th. I am Lance Jenkins, and I approve this message. Lynn E. Jenkins, treasurer. Vote Lance Jenkins, property assessor.
Hello, this is Truman Jones. We have a new sponsor and one that you're going to be delighted with. It's National Healthcare, National Healthcare Corporation right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And this is where life is celebrated. Discover a different kind of care, one that ensures that you're surrounded by people who make a difference in your life. In 11 states, patients and residents feel right at home at National Healthcare Corporation's more than 130 affiliated healthcare centers and home care offices. Their family of facilities delivers exceptional rehabilitative skilled nursing and extended care in locations that are close to home and family. In line with their longtime commitment to provide a continuum of care to those who need their services at any age. And want to let you know that this is a local business started here, even though it's pretty much all through the Southeast. National Healthcare, Murfreesboro, where life is celebrated.
My name is Joe Frank Jernigan. I am running for road superintendent of Rutherford County in the Republican primary. I am a lifelong resident of Rutherford County, and I am the current assistant road superintendent, and I have held this job for over 10 years. Early voting starts February 15th through February 29th, and Election Day is March 6, 2012. I would appreciate your vote, paid for by friends of Joe Frank Jernigan.
He knows Rutherford County as good as anybody. Truman Jones. It's the Truman Show here on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with Jimmy C. Newman, John Frost, Ray Frost. And Jimmy, you're going to have to leave us because you're heading toward Nashville, and you're one of the recipients of a major award that's coming up.
Well, about this, what you're talking about, like I mentioned to you about the union, they're just giving us a special day.
Right.
The union is to the lifetime members. You have to have been in 30 years, I think, to be a lifetime member.
And you've only been a member for 55 years, really?
And 55 years. Yeah. So
he made it.
Yeah.
He made it.
I'm going for twice.
So they're finally going to give you the award after 55 years, huh?
I'm going to come back and see if I can get a twice award.
There you go. I joined in 65, so I was a member there, too, for this time.
Oh, my
I'm a retired member now.
So, you know, that's amazing that you guys have stayed so loyal to the business all this time. Of course, I know it's just like food. It supplements you. It mm-hmm. just keeps you going and all that. And
ego feeds the ego.
Yeah. hope the eagle lands every once in a while anyway.
Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah.
But it's been such a pleasure to be with you guys. And John, you mentioned something that this is a special day that all of us guys should remember.
We want to send this whole show, all of us, out to all the ladies that need to be honored for Valentine's Day. You better have bought your flowers and your cards. If you hadn't, you better get on down to the store
somewhere.
Happy Valentine's Day.
It is a happy Valentine's, but you know, for the ladies, they should be honored every day.
Yes. Amen.
Because they're the ones that keep us going.
Especially those married to entertainers.
Oh,
yeah.
Lord.
And Billy's a musician.
He's done quit preaching, gone to messing around now.
I've been blessed.
What's May going to do today? You're heading out toward Nashville.
I said, when I left, I said, May, I'm sorry, I'm going to be gone. We were in Nashville for a couple of days this past weekend because for certain reasons. I had to entertain, I did the opera, and I had to entertain John A's for a rope banquet.
Yeah.
And so I said, May, I'm going to be gone for half of the day. I'm sorry. I said, I'm glad you're gone, but we've been together long enough here now. I need a break. So there you are. So
they were remodeling the Ryman just recently.
The stage.
Have they finished that, or are they still working on it?
I think they're still working on it, yeah.
If you had your choice of entertaining like you do at the Opry, had you rather have the Ryman or the new one?
The Opry House, you're talking about the Ryman or the Opry House, we call it the
Fifth and Commerce.
The Opry House was built for our convenience, and that's the reason why it makes it easier and nicer for us. We have a place to park, we're just driving park, we have a dressing room there. And everything was built for Bud Wendell, who was in charge at the time. Mm-hmm. He had that built, and you know what I'm talking
about.
What
a great man, Bud Wendell.
Yes.
And
my goodness. That's the reason why I prefer there. However, the saying, only thing is, the friends and neighbors, as the late Hank Snow used to say, at the Ryman, it's a great place for the sound.
Mm-hmm.
But the friends and neighbors can see the fillings in your teeth right up front.
Yeah.
Well, they can see your tonsils when I do, hey!
Oh, yeah.
Some of them. But either one is great, but for convenience, it's an opera house. Yeah.
So you have your own dressing room and everything there.
For me?
You have your own dressing room and everything at the new place, at Opryland.
Yeah, we share it a lot of times, sure. Sure, we share it. A few, I don't want to get into that. Let's let it play.
That's another show.
After 55 years, I still share my dressing room.
Well, we're going to have to wrap up the show. Brian's giving me the card again. You guys want to have any parting words?
I want to say it's been great you invited me again. I feel, like I said, I feel like I own part of the show or the radio station. I've been here 3 years and three times in less than a year. Thank you so much.
You do own part of it because of all that what you give to us and to all the people out there.
I don't think so, but thank you.
Yes,
anyhow.
You do.
Ray, good to see you.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
I like to say sheriff because that's
right.
First match.
It's got a nice ring to it, don't it?
I'll answer to anything.
Thank you. I'm going to head
Jimmy.
On back.
Have a good trip and safe trip, Jimmy.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
We love you.
Thank
buddy.
You.
It was great camaraderie, as we say in Cajun French.
Yeah, that too.
Whatever that means.
Amen.
All right, guys. John, Ray,
Pastor. Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Great pleasure to be here.
Truman, we had a wonderful time as always, and so many great memories in the musical career that Ray and I, being two young men from when we started, we were kids in Eagleville, Tennessee, to think of the things that we've got to do because of our talent It's amazing. This TV
That's going to have to be another show.
Yeah, national TV. Been on national TV, been on local TV. We had TV shows, and when we were doing the gospel thing, we had TV shows in West Virginia and Charleston, Huntington, Chattanooga, two stations there. But at any rate, it's been good. So I wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day and hope you enjoyed the show.
And the same for me, and we'll see you guys tomorrow at 2 o'clock.